Wake up, sleepyheads.
It's party time! Yeah! This is the old Nooster coming at you right here on this fine, fine Rocktober morning. It's the sweeping sensation that's sweeping the nation, and I'm gonna do it to you right here, right now. Wow!
Just lost you, rockin'! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Greetings from Jindal, Kiss Army.
Awesome. And Mr. D-Rock.
What's up, all you Kiss freaks? What's going on?
All right, man, we've had a good week here. Did you guys see that Paul apparently played some little private show with the Foo Fighters?
My favorites.
Oh. I really would love to see the video now, man.
I would too, man. I wonder what they were playing, you know what I mean? In the picture, Paul said he broke out his 59 Les Paul and was rocking. So I wonder if they were doing a full set together, or Paul just jumped up and did a Kiss song, or what? That's all we know is the tweet that we just saw, like, what, 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, and one picture.
One photo. A pretty cool photo.
One photo. Yeah, it was cool. It looked like it's a small stage, you know?
Yeah, it was like in a club somewhere, it looked like.
Yeah.
I guess that's the bonus of being neighbors. Now Paul Stanley will go sit in with the frickin' Foo Fighters.
Why doesn't that kind of crap happen? I can tell you, I remember years and years ago, we were at a club in downtown Atlanta, and then while we were sitting there, there were like people walking in going, oh man, you should have been at this club tonight because the Black Crowes were there and they did a surprise secret show, you know?
That'd be cool.
And then just recently, I mean, that, you know, I'm never in the right place. The other day I was flipping through Twitter or maybe it was Facebook, and somebody had posted a picture about there was a secret Grateful Dead show back in the day, but they went by, what was it, the Warlocks? Is that what they were originally, I think?
I think you're
and,
right.
So I was like, man, can you imagine just be, you know, you're sitting somewhere and all of a sudden I hear, isn't Lady Gaga doing that right now? It's called the Dives Tour or something like that.
No clue on that one, buddy.
Yeah, she's like showing up at bars and like playing her songs. Oh, like, how cool, because she's a musician too, you know. And
it'd be like, do you think if she just went in there just as herself, probably people wouldn't even know who she was?
It's possible.
I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah. No. You know, I'm not a big
no
fan.
No makeup and no hair done and all right. That. Just a,
you would just might, you would probably know, but you know, you're more of like, you actually kind of followed her a little bit.
Yeah, I love Lady Gaga. So I really do. She's very talented. And a huge Kiss fan.
That's always a bonus. Any girl that likes Kiss is always
cooler. I've mentioned it a few times. There's like three or four videos that you can go online and watch where she's talking about Paul Stanley and talking about Kiss, and then there's one where she's at a show during the, I think it's the Alive 35 tour, where somebody's filming her. She's sitting at the sound booth and she's dancing through, you know, the whole set. And I was like, yeah, that says how cool she is. What was the other thing I saw today? I saw one more thing. Oh, last night I saw a story that suggests that Kiss will be dropping their football team soon.
That ain't no big loss.
the AFL, you know, I guess Arena Football League, basically the story was about how it might struggle if these four or five teams decide not, and sure enough, one of them was LA Kiss. Now, I went online and looked, and there's nothing about next year's, you know, anything, but that is a good bit away.
Yeah, you know, it isn't going to bug me one way or another. Honestly, I could tell you that I've never watched a single game. You know, that
really?
LA, I'm just...
I mean, actually, it's like the Kiss wrestlers. You know, it's like, what the...
I just don't watch sports, dude. It doesn't matter. Even if it has Kiss involved, I still don't watch sports. I'm just not that guy.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that they could, you know, have a team. And from what all the things I've heard about it, it seemed pretty cool if you're into that kind of thing. But it just ain't my bag.
You know, Lemmy flipping the coin on the first, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean.
The first game, I think he flipped the coin and shit like that.
If I was going to watch football, I'd rather watch something, you know, a Kiss football, you know, obviously. Yeah, but
I watched one game one night where they had, you know, first of all, on the ends, they have like cages set up and they got girls in them. Dancing girls.
Nice.
Yeah.
At the football game. Then I saw like bike riders or something doing flips and stuff. Oh, yeah. And then
it's kind of like a psycho circus carnival.
Yeah, man, it's really like off the chain.
I could dig it.
So, you know, that'll be interesting. We'll have to wait and find out. Well, you know, of course, on that thing on Facebook about the AFL, everybody's commenting. And of course, I jumped in and said, hey, you know, Gene was at an NFL football game the other day. And of course, they're going to sell the team or to close it. Because they're going to be playing halftime with Lady Gaga. And somebody came forward and was like, man, that would be awesome. Because she's doing the halftime at the Super Bowl. And I still say it would be badass if she got up there and...
Right, that would be kind of cool.
With Kiss and did like I Was Made for Loving You or something. Rock and roll all night, you know?
Something, yeah. They should do Sweet Pain and she could do like the background vocal parts.
Yeah, and she could do some whipping. Psh, psh, psh.
Where there's a whip, there's a way.
And damn straight. All right, so, topic for the day.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yes!
We were going to do this one last year, and we didn't get to it, and we for Halloween, and we wound up doing Phantom of the Park. So this year for Halloween, of course, we're doing the Gene Simmons. I don't know if it's not even. I mean, he's in it, you know, but
yeah.
It's the Gene Simmons classic Trick or Treat.
Wake up, sleepyhead.
It's body time!
Rock and roll will never die. At least not this Halloween.
You've heard of raising spirits from the dead by incantations, right?
Yes.
I did that by playing the record backwards.
You're kidding.
Sammy Kerr. He's a rock and roll nightmare.
I am a big fan of yours. I've got all your records.
Shut up!
We are the bait. The bait is you.
This message is meant for me.
How can you listen to this stuff?
Done to your stereo.
I wanted a new one.
Sammy Kerr. His fans won't let him die. He won't let them live.
You should be loyal to your hero. They could turn on you.
Rock and roll, rock and roll.
Trick or treat.
Looks like we better check out the party punch. Yeah.
Starring Mark Price from Family Ties, with special guest appearances by Ozzy Osbourne and Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Well, his role, although small, he's good.
He's great. In small doses, yeah. I guess.
Talking about Gene Simmons in there as Nuke, the DJ, last year, I think it was, and I had like a full beard and stuff, and Jody got like my cowboy hat out. It made me put it on with my shades over there by the by our recording equipment shit, and I looked just like Gene as Newton.
That's awesome.
If Jody can find the picture, he'll email it to you so that you can
I would love to put see it up that.
And have our listeners do a poll on if they think I look like him or not.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Either him or Rob Zombie.
Yep. I IMDb'd it, right?
Yeah.
You know, to get the information. So this is basically what it says. It says, Sammy Kerr was a famous devil-worshipping rock star who died under mysterious circumstances. Now he wants to come back to life. Doing so requires possessing radio wave and automobiles and yeah. making a few human sacrifices.
Just a few.
It's so 1986.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool though, man. I remember being a kid and thinking this movie was awesome, dude. Even without Gene, you know, it would still be right. a pretty cool movie to a, you know.
So I young can kid. I honestly can say that today is the first time I ever saw this movie, even though I owned it
right.
for the past at least 5 years. It has sat in my DVD collection. I actually had to take the cellophane off of it today.
Really?
Dude, yeah.
Religiously, like, every October.
You know? Yeah, I've never done it. I never watched it. And, you know, now, like, sports aren't... that's not Jody's bag. Scary movies is not mine. But this one isn't really all that scary.
Nah.
You know, to me... Okay, we'll get into it. But, so... You know, I got to tell you right off the bat, I enjoyed the movie. I didn't think that the acting was too bad. You know, it certainly was Oscar worthy compared to Too Young to Die.
Definitely.
<Yeah. laughs> Okay? If you put the two of those up and said one of them has to win an Oscar, this is the one winning the movie, the Oscar.
Totally. Skippy Gunn Metal, dude.
It is. It is. Okay, so let's talk about the cast a little bit. Mark Price, who plays Eddie. Now, we all know, if you're depending on your age, Mark Price, he was
Skippy.
He was Skippy in, what was the name of that show?
Family Ties.
Family Ties, right.
He was also in the, he was like in another one of those like vampire movies.
Long
that
ago.
Is awesome. I looked it up and I believe I even saw that he was in an Attack of the Killer Tomatoes movie.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. That's they're pretty... like Critters or something like that. I think.
All those movies from right then, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tony Fields plays Sammy Kerr.
Yeah.
Strawberry Fields.
All right, now let me tell you about Tony Fields, because this is I looked into this because I wanted to be able to give a little info, you know. And it says Tony Fields took the last name of Fields from his stepfather Max. Tony's parents divorced when he was four. And then there's some more information, but he was a solid gold dancer.
Sammy Kerr was. Really? Huh?
Yeah, the guy that played Sammy Kerr. And unfortunately, he passed away in 1995 at the age of 36.
Damn.
Yeah. It says he was born in 58 and he died in 95 and he was 36.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's sad.
Was he in other movies?
I can tell you this. All right. I did look that up. And I can tell you the two movies that I recognized, okay? Okay. Well, he did a little bit of TV. Okay, he was on like Murder, She Wrote for an episode in L.A. Law.
Okay.
But the one thing that was like really stood out to me was he was a backup dancer in that Michael Jackson Captain EO thing at Disney World. You ever heard of this?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. The thing where he got whipped in the face.
Yeah, exactly. And then... he was in Thriller, man.
Really?
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, he's uncredited, but he's one of the zombies in Thriller. And I'm going, how awesome is that, man?
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, Thriller, man. I remember waiting up, you know, to watch that. It was right around Halloween, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out on Halloween night.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But did you know that Gene was actually offered that role, supposedly, as Sammy Kerr?
Oh, really?
But he thought it was probably too close to, you know, too close to home.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. You know, because it's satanic and all that, that's the point. And he, you know.
Well, plus it's just a shock rocker. And, you know, Gene didn't want to play some other shock rocker because then his persona would be a little cheapened, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Let's get into the movie, all right?
Sure.
So, we're not going to, you know, be able to get into every little detail, but I have to say that there were quite a few funny lines and things that happened that I noticed, and I'll mention them. But the movie starts, you know, and then you realize that the kid is really into metal because they're showing the bedroom, man.
Yeah.
And it is my bedroom in 1986.
Yeah, I saw the Anthrax poster, and there was like a Love Gun poster.
He even had like a Megadeth album in his stack.
Yeah, and then there was the like a Animalized era poster.
Yeah, I had that poster when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. And then he even has like Raven on the wall, and yeah, and then of course the Sammy Kerr poster.
One thing I liked about the whole like emphasis of the beginning of the story was that it tied all along with like the whole myth about, you know, playing a record backwards with the subliminal messages and shit.
Right
off the bat, you know.
Yeah, that made it kind of fun for me. I was like, oh boy. So the first thing I thought, of course, and I don't know if you guys thought this, was how big is this damn kid's room?
It was like a full attic or something.
It was
I thought it was like he was in the attic or like a loft above the garage or something.
I don't know, but it was a huge room, and I'm watching it, and I'm going, man, this kid's bedroom is so choice.
Yeah.
He's got like recliners in there and the bed and
huge stereo.
Huge stereo.
That big when I was his age.
Yeah, man, that would have been awesome. Okay, so it's the typical story, you know. He's the metalhead, and the popular kids, other, you know, what do they call those?
Douchebags.
Preps or whatever.
Yeah, the preppy kids, you know. They pick on him quite a bit, and you see it through the movie. And
he really wanted to nail them because they fucked him over and made him be naked.
The main scene, right? The first main scene is that, and this is where I got a question. Okay, so they show him in the shower. He's taking a shower. He comes out of the shower to go to his locker. It's a musical montage kind of thing, right?
Right.
You don't hear any dialogue. You just hear music, and they have his tape, and they're hiding it from him. And then they throw it out into the out the door, and he goes after it. They yank off his towel, and he's butt-ass naked.
Like the classic I'm going to pick on you fucking scene.
Right, okay. Now, here's my question. Who the fuck keeps a Polaroid camera with them at school?
Right.
Vain cheerleaders.
Runs over, grabs a Polaroid camera, and gets a picture of Skippy's ass.
Right.
and he's miserable, right? You know, he's at the door anyway. Okay, so that was the first thing I saw where I was like, what? It's not like nowadays where everybody has a phone, you know, a phone with a camera on it. And the Polaroid is this big ass bulky
old school. Yeah. I mean, it is kind of odd now that you mention it, but you know, teenage girls have always been vain, and they like
photos of
themselves. True. Nothing's really changed in that department.
So,
carrying a camera around for the fucking yearbook picture, you know.
So he goes home or whatever. He does his thing. The next day, he goes back to school, and the girl that he's got the hots for, Leslie, right?
I think so. Yeah.
She goes walking up to him. And she's like, she gives him the tape, and she even has the Polaroid and says, you know, she's the nice one. She's nice, right? Now, right off the bat, did you trust her?
No. Never.
What about you, D-Rock?
I was kind of iffy, but I was thinking, you know, because, I mean, if she was nice enough to do that, you know, but then the whole inviting him to the pool party thing. You know, you got in the back of your mind, you know, after all the movies that we've watched, she's setting him up. So it was still kind of hard to tell at that point of the movie, you know, if you trust her or not.
Yeah. I had my guard up. I wasn't 100% trusting Leslie. So, you know, he's the guy who, you know, who doesn't get invited to the parties. She invites him to the parties. Turns out it's, you know, one of those things where they used something to keep the door open so everybody could sneak in at night, you know?
Yeah.
And of course,
vodka bottle.
Yep. And the best part, of course, is 1986, which means boobs. And if you're watching, of course, there's all the high school kids are in the pool, and then the girls got their tops off, and
but of course,
Of course,
the 80s.
Skippy comes walking in, and you know the preps get a hold of him. You know they see him. Now here was my thing: they tell him to get lost, right? Man, that's another thing. You know, hearing Skippy say fuck was really kind of funny.
I don't know why.
He wasn't all about Mallory, you know?
Right.
Okay. So when they're going to throw him out of the party, where the hell did they get a weight from?
Yeah. Right. More or less, if he was able to pick it up with one hand like that, like it was really going to be able to weigh him down in the water that bad.
They grab the weight, they put it in his backpack, they push him in, and he sinks to the bottom. And he can't get the backpack off. I have news for you. I'm getting that bitch off if I'm stuck under the water.
Right. Fuck the jacket, fuck the clothes, I'd be ripping everything off.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was funny, though, like when Leslie saves him or whatever, the preppy dudes were, like, disappointed. They're like, oh, he didn't die.
You know? Shallow end. Way to
and
go.
You're in the Leslie. Shallow end.
It's funny.
Way to go, Leslie.
That's when we start to get the beginning of the evil Skippy. He storms out, and then Leslie chases him, and she's like, I didn't know this was going to happen. I'm sorry. And she's like, he's like, you set me up, and blah, blah, blah. And he's mad.
Yeah. Fuck all you people.
And he said it a lot. And there was a couple, when he said, fuck all you people, his lips did weird things and it made me giggle.
that little quiver.
Yeah.
Like he and wasn't then, sure if he should say it or not.
Yeah. And then he goes, I'm going to get each and every one of them. Everyone, I'm going to get them. I don't know how and I don't know when, but I will. And that's when I went, dog, dog, dog.
Right.
Right.
And he goes, I'm going to nail them. I'm going to nail them all.
I'm going to nail them all.
Sounded even creepier in like today's terms.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's walking away and he hears his feet going squeak, 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 squeak. Is he walking?
Yeah, that's true. Because he's soaking wet and his shoes are all squeaky.
So he's having a bad day, right?
Yes.
He's having a really bad day and then he gets home to find even worse news on Sammy Kerr, right?
Right. Tell that story.
Well, he's watching the news, and he finds out that his big hero, Sammy Kerr, has died mysteriously at the hands of the Illuminati.
That's what it was?
No, that's what they're inferring to someone like me, because he's like, at that hearing for the government, he's like, we'll take you down! We will take you down!
I didn't tie that in, but that's messed up.
I didn't think about that either until he just pointed that out.
Yeah, and then he dies the mysterious death. No one knows the cause, I mean, you know.
And that was very much a PMRC type of...
Totally like his take on the D. Snyder thing.
D. Snyder thing, right. Keep going.
One thing I was going to ask you guys, I mean, didn't you kind of feel like Sammy was basically kind of like a Manson before Manson, or like Blackie Lawless meets Lizzie Borden or some shit?
That's kind of what I thought it was.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's almost like you wonder if... Marilyn Manson was a fan of this movie.
I'm sure he was. I mean, who wasn't at that time?
I mean, you can definitely see it tied in with his persona, you know?
Dude, everyone I know that saw this back in the 80s thought it was great, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, looking back on it, it's a little dated and maybe a little corny here and there, but still, at the time,
I mean, when I saw Sammy Carr's character, you know, I immediately thought, like, rat meets wasp. You know?
Yeah.
It had a little rat influence there.
Totally. A little, like, darker Twisted Sister, too, I think. Instead of, like, pink, it was more, like, black and red, which was cool. The soundtrack of this movie with all those Fastway songs.
Right.
Clinton and I used to fucking rock that album all the time, dude. I loved it back then.
Yeah, it was really good. Now, I looked that up because I always heard, you know, he sings in another band now.
Oh, the Fastway guy does?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's the lead singer in Flogging Molly.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Is he really?
What? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I had heard this years ago, but I thought, man, before I say that on our show, I'm going to double check. And I didn't, sure enough.
Has he been their singer the whole time? Because I've heard a lot of their songs, and I would have never put those two voices together.
No, he wasn't the original singer for Flogging Molly.
No?
It says that he's the... It said that he's Irish-born or something like that, and that he's the lead singer in Flogging Molly.
That's crazy to me. Because every, like, you know, like, gigs around the St. Patrick's Day, everyone wants to hear Flogging Molly and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I would never in a million years say, oh, that's the dude from Fastway.
That was him.
The voice of Sammy Kerr. What? I mean, that doesn't compute. Insufficient data at the moment, Star Child. If you know what I'm saying. That's crazy. I can't believe that.
That's very interesting.
I can't believe that. That's shocking. Anyways.
So
Sammy Kerr dies, and then he finally gets to go see Nuke, played by our boy, Mr. Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons, yay.
Doing his best Wolfman Jack.
Yes, and he has a great opening line, you know, where he's on the radio and he talks really fast and it's really good. And,
yeah,
it's pretty cool. And I was impressed with Gene in this movie more than I was in still, he wasn't bad in Too Young to Die. You know?
Nah, I mean, Gene's all right, but this character kind of seemed to fit him a little better, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of doing his Johnny Fever thing.
Well, because he was doing something that had to do with music, you know, so it was more up his alley. He wasn't having to portray something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Yes, you're right. How weird would it have been had he had taken the role of Sammy Kerr?
Well, first things first, he couldn't have done all those little flips and twists that dude did.
Yeah,
jumping off the drum set stage, spinning around.
Doing like a 720.
Yeah, he did.
He would have got tangled up in that mic cord and fell flat on his face. I know I would have.
I would have.
It was very Prince, like Purple Rain-esque, you know.
It was. But, okay. So the kid goes to see Nuke. Nuke, you know, and it's very important that we mention that Sammy Kerr went to the same high school as
Ragman,
Skippy,
as Eddie, and as Gene.
Skippy.
I keep calling him Skippy. I can't get away from that.
Who would want to call themselves Ragman?
Yeah, Ragman.
It's gross.
That was, you know, and you can see that he definitely loves. He definitely loves Sammy Kerr in his band, you know, because it shows him writing a letter.
And yeah, I best friend forever.
Yeah, and I noticed that the stamp was only 22 cents, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Now I think a stamp's like 42 cents or some shit like that. It shows you how far back in the day it is. Now, you know, Jody, I don't know how much you want to talk about this movie. I don't know how much you want to give away, because people could go on YouTube and watch it, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe they can if they're
amazed. I think you could watch it on YouTube. And, you know, what do you think? Should we keep going?
Well, I think there's one more scene I want to get your take on, since this was the first time you saw it. Because it's,
okay,
to me,
go ahead.
Probably the most classic scene in the whole damn movie. Is when Eddie gives dude that like tape as some kind of apology, but then the girl puts it in while dude's, I don't know what he's doing.
While he's
right
in the corner by the lake peeing.
Oh, okay. He was taking a leak, huh?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he goes to take that leak, and she listens to the tape, remember? So I want to hear what you thought, since you've seen it once, and it was whenever today.
Okay.
Let me
hear what you think about
that.
So the first thing I have to say is more boobs.
Hey, let me ask you this real quick before you get into it. Is that chick the same girl who played like was on Full House as like Uncle Jesse?
No, I thought that at first too, and it's not her.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I thought that too when she was talking to him at the pool.
Yeah, when she's like,
"Look, doesn't it get tough maintaining this level of creepiness?"
I thought the same thing, but it wasn't her. You know. But okay. So yes, she's in the car. She's making out with the guy. He gets out, goes to pee. She's back there, and then she puts the headphones on, and then you see this like green mist come out of the thing and go into her headphones, and then come out
and headphones down her shirt. Yeah.
Opens up her shirt and then pulls down her whatever, and then
she's way into it.
She's into it, man. She's like totally getting off by this. Totally. Green mist, you know? And then all of a sudden she wakes up and there's this like Ghostbusters dog, you know?
Yeah. That's a perfect description.
It had a really long demon tongue too. Yeah. Did you notice that?
Yeah, totally.
That's when she realizes that she
that's hilarious.
Was being done by the dog, and she starts screaming. Yeah, that was pretty good. I was like
all melted to the fucking headphone and shit.
Yeah, I have to say that her panties were sweet. I really enjoyed looking at them.
Did you notice that the fog even made like a hand down there by her panties and was like starting to pull her panties down?
No, I didn't notice that.
Watch it again. As it goes down to her crotch, the fog makes like a hand and it's like grabbing onto her panties.
And then she's like, and they show her face and she is like way into it.
She's about to bust one.
She is about to get ghost busted.
She was gonna bust a grumpy.
She ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Nope. And then what, you know, so that's when the, you know, that guy, you know, okay, so, you know, I wanted to talk about a few other scenes, but we don't have to tell a whole lot about them. One, the one scene later on where the mom and their boyfriend go out trick-or-treating.
Yeah, and she's like Madonna.
She's Madonna and he's Rambo.
Yeah, classic.
Watch it again. Watch the scene again. You can see this big red microphone come in the picture through the top of the screen.
Damn. I didn't notice it either. My girlfriend noticed it when we were watching it again tonight before we got online for the show. And she goes, "Did you see that mic?" I was like, "No." She went back, and sure enough, that boom mic stuck down from the top. I was like, "Damn, I never noticed that." And I've watched this like many a times.
It had a big red, like bozo nose, like, you know, pop screen right over the top of it.
Yeah.
Jeez, I never noticed that either.
And then, okay, so to make sure, make everybody understand, he gets the last recording of.
He gets the acetate.
The acetate of Sammy Kerr's last recording from Nuke. He takes it home. He spins it backwards to hear because it's already recorded backwards. So he spins it backwards so he can hear it forwards. And that's when the movie takes off with all the killing.
Yeah, it's like, turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man.
Sex crash.
Exactly.
Here's what trips me out, though, okay?
Yeah.
It's one thing to play your records backwards, but to start using it to where you can ask it a question and you're getting unique answers is kind of... I'd have been like, man, I'm out. And as soon as my record player started playing on its own when I wasn't even turning it on, I probably would have moved. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't mess with that.
I would have burned all my fucking metal records and started listening to Amy Grant.
And Striper.
You'd be a whole different person.
Dude, I would become the biggest Bible thumper in the world if that shit happened.
The only thing was is, you know, it was really creepy when I don't want to get too much into it because I want you guys out there, you're listening, you gotta go.
They've seen it though. You know they've seen this.
Now let's see. There are some funny lines. One of my favorite lines is when he is smashing his record player and stuff, and his mom comes in and goes, "What do you do? What did you do to your record player?" And he goes, "I wanted a new one."
Yeah. That was pretty classic.
I think my favorite funny line on there was when he was at the inn, when he was trying to get Sammy Kerr's ghost to appear in the cop car, and he goes, "Hey, man, what'd you think about that toilet back there? You were looking a little flush."
Yeah. That part right there did throw me off a little bit. And I will tell you that they probably said the word fuck at least 10 times, probably more times, right?
Yeah, about.
But then at the end of the movie, Lane, you know, the guy that plays Lane, you know, he's not playing Lane from Pretty in Pink. It's not the same guy. But it's the same type of guy. You know, totally. He's the preppy. Yeah. And he's got the girl pinned in the corner. And he's going, "Tell me something. Are you making it with Eddie?"
I'm like, right. Then he fucking slaps her like some kind of asshole.
He slaps her. Backhands her on the floor.
Like, but I'm thinking, he says, "Are you making it?" And I went, "Man, you said fuck like 80 times in this movie, dude. And now all of a sudden, are you making it with Eddie?"
Yeah, well, I think that the censors were kind of still a little weary on what the word was actually implying at that part.
They were maybe, you know, but I'll tell you what they didn't have a problem with. The backhand that came afterwards.
That's right. Crazy to me.
He knocked her out. Boom.
Damn FCC.
What about the one of my favorite lines is when the preppy guy's like, "Do you think I'm a wussy fucking weak-tipped?"
Yeah. And he throws a wrench at him.
Yeah, like hard as hell.
Yeah.
Now, talking crazy about that part, I just wanted to make a comment on this one scene and see if you guys found this as overdone, but yet as funny as I did.
What you got? Just
like along that part where he like smashes the cafeteria plate and the guy's shirt, and they're all running from him.
Yeah.
And he had all this shit like set up.
Yeah.
You know, waiting for him, and when that guy hit the water from the fucking slide down the hall, out the door, and down the fucking
down the stairs.
You know, he like broke his collarbone and his tailbone and shit.
I think that was a little overdone, but
that was just a bit. That was the twisted sister part of the video.
Totally, it was like we're not gonna take it, kind of slapstick.
Right. Right, what were you doing, Elmer?
I kept thinking, geez, man. This is a long ass run. He's like, he ran for like 2 minutes.
Forever.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, just fight this guy already.
Yeah. He had some balls, though. He went for it, didn't he? Okay. Yeah. Let me tell you, I am on my.
Surrender up his soul.
I am now on YouTube, and yes, the movie is in full. So if you haven't seen this movie, get to it.
I think most people have seen it, but if the odd person out there that maybe hasn't, a younger fan or something, you should definitely check it out. There's not a lot of Gene, but it's a good movie, dude. It's
a great movie. It still has a lot of ties with Kiss and totally. Ozzy.
Yeah, and Ozzy's in it as well. He plays a priest, which is funny.
What's crazy is on the DVD cover, it's like they try to really... There's a picture of Gene and a picture of Ozzy. And there's no picture of Sammy. There's nothing. And it's kind of misleading.
Yeah, that's what I have. It's very misleading because Ozzy actually, I think, they're probably in the movie about the same amount of time. When you say Ozzy's thing is he's a preacher on TV. Overall,
yeah, about screen time, it's about the same amount.
Yeah.
I know you guys aren't wanting to give away too much of the movie, but what did you guys think about that whole scene where they were finally there in the Halloween dance, you know, and the band, the dude was trying to tune up, and Sammy's hand comes out of the amplifier and grabs him in the face.
Right.
Next thing you know, the guitar's flying in the air and he's catching it. I think the coolest part of that movie is where he starts slapping his fist on his leg.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd starts clapping along in time with him, and then the band starts rocking out.
It's pretty badass.
I have to say that awesome. I agree with you about that. That part was really awesome. He just starts hitting his leg, and the crowd starts clapping, and then
built it up so much. You know, yeah.
What's really even more awesome is that he played a song that the bass player, other guitar player, and the drummer had never heard.
Right, but they're jamming right along with it.
Yep. Now, but was it supposed to be a Sammy Kerr song?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Because the girl in the crowd goes, "He's even better than the real Sammy Kerr."
Yeah, they thought it was like a tribute artist or something until he started freaking blasting people.
Shit, yeah, that was awesome.
Electric bolts out of his guitar and shit.
For the time, the effects weren't that bad at all, I didn't think.
No. Yeah, you know, and like I said, boobs.
Of course.
Yes, absolutely.
That's one thing about you can count on if you're watching a movie from the 80s. You're going to see the female lead's titties.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so anything else you guys want to add on that, or you want to just tell people, go watch the movie now and write us and tell us what you thought of it?
Sounds good to me, yeah. Just definitely check it out.
Let them see it for themselves.
What would you give it out of 5 stars?
What would I? Oh, 4. Easy.
Yeah. What about you, D-Rocker?
I'd definitely give it a 4.5, 4.75, man.
Wow. That's,
it's a classic, man. I got this movie when I was 12 years old, you know?
Yeah.
I've watched it every year since. I burned it up so bad I had 2 VHS copies of it that went bad, And then finally found it on DVD. So, yeah.
I'd probably give it a 4 too, man. It's a great movie. It's probably my favorite of all the ones that Gene's been in. And if you don't count Phantom or Detroit. I believe that
it fits in with the 80s horror movies pretty well.
Yeah, it's great.
Right.
Yeah. It's good without being too gross and too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely PG-13, I'd say. Yeah. Well, maybe not for the boobies, but that's the only thing that would make it a rated R.
Yeah, that probably. Okay, so listen, you know, you can, if you watch this movie or you've seen this movie, I want you to send me your review. Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com.
Hi, it's Gene Simmons. You're listening to Podcast Rock City, but you knew that.
And just send it to us, and you know, and we'll. I want to read them on the air, man, because you know, next weekend. Oh man! So next Saturday is my birthday.
Yep.
Yay.
So that means on Sunday, we got to do some kind of a crazy show, and then the week after that is Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, you'll be on the cruise.
And then after that, I'll be on the cruise. And then we got a lot going on there. Stay tuned. There's a lot coming up with that. One thing I do, we did get a letter. I wanted to read it real quick for you guys because I thought you guys would get a kick out of this. You ready?
Yeah.
Sure.
It says, hello, me and my, it's really short, but it says, hello, me and my family are huge fans of your podcast. We love it. Never miss one. We just wondered if we could get a mention on your podcast from Lee Beat and the Beat family listening from Birmingham, UK. So hello, Lee, and your family.
Hello.
Hi, Lee. Hi. Hope things are well for you guys. And thanks so much for listening, man. We really do appreciate it. It's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Totally. I'm sorry for our language sometimes for the kids.
Yes. Yeah. What can we do? Anyway,
I have no filter. Sorry.
So yeah, that was really awesome. He actually sent this to me a couple weeks ago, and I was busy last week, and I was looking for everything that I had to do, and sometimes you just have to wait an extra week. But yes, Lee, thank you for listening. Thank you, family. Give him big hugs from us. So Jody, what else we got going on today?
I do have a Sweet 16 if we want to foray into such matters.
Sure.
It's always a nice time filler if we run short on time. Material, you know.
What happened to you right there, D-Rock? Did your private parts get touched?
Yeah. My balls smacked together like a Canadian game.
He said, I went, what happened? All right, what's the
sweet? I like the Sweet 16s, man. I like
they're
this.
Good. Jody puts a lot of effort into this. Which
and
one
I
have
like
we got
to
this
see
week?
Where our different opinions are on it, too.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't ever gotten to a fight.
Right. You're like, fuck you, I'm off the show. You don't agree with me. Never happened.
Never happened.
All right. Me and Joe are like brothers from another. Me and D-Rock, everyone knows. We go way, way, way back.
Heck yeah. Yep.
Okay, so anyway, this one is the Sweet 16 of Alive 1 and 2.
Ooh,
nice.
It might be some tough choices.
Is this
choices.
All live, or is this going to include the songs?
I left the studio shit off because I figured it wasn't fair to put it up against other live stuff. And plus, there's, you know, two records and picking 16. I had to whittle it down somehow. So what I do is I just picked my 16, what I consider the best ones off those two records, typed them into this little randomizer, and then they spit it out, and here we go. So the first round, we're talking God of Thunder versus... Now, remember, these are the Alive and Alive 2 versions, so don't even worry about thinking about the studio versions. I'm talking about these versions. So we got God of Thunder versus Watching You.
Watching You.
I'd actually have to go with God of Thunder.
Would you?
Because
I think I got to go Watching You as well. Maybe if they didn't have that big, long... drum solo in the middle of God of Thunder on Alive 2 that I used to always have to edit out onto tape. I might have went to that. But you can't argue with Watching You. It's one of the great Gene songs of all time.
Yeah.
Just ask Adam Smith. He knows. So anyways, Let Me Go Rock and Roll versus Ladies Room. That's a tough one.
I'd have to go with Let Me Go.
I'll go with Ladies Room this time.
You know, my whole life I've always loved this version of Ladies Room. But in the last probably 10 years, I've been obsessed with the version of Let Me Go Rock and Roll on Alive. So that's my pick.
We've talked about that before.
It's fucking rock.
It's such
so
a great
hard,
song.
Dude.
Such a great song.
Yeah, and it's like when you're a kid, it was for me, it was a little too just kind of rock and roll-y. It wasn't like riffy per se.
Right.
But I've grown to appreciate it, and especially the version on Alive. It's just so epic, you know? It's great. But how about Detroit Rock City versus Parasite? That's a tough one, too.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Does it include the beginning? You wanted the best, you got the best, or just the song?
You can include the beginning, sure.
Because that really, like, adds part of it. To it, you know?
Yeah, big time.
I'll go with Detroit Rock City.
What are you talking about, D-Rocker?
What you talking about?
That's tough.
About this?
I've always loved Detroit, so I'm going with that one.
Alrighty.
I mean, but I do love the Parasite rocks, but...
That was the extent of the disappointment that you get from the Sweet 60. Alright, yeah. I love it when Jody goes, really?
Right. Then you already know what he's going to say.
Yeah, really? Right then you know you just went against whatever Jody was going to say.
Well, because Jody's disappointed because I actually went against what he was thinking.
Right. I would have said Parasite all day.
My original thought was Parasite, you know, but still, well, I mean, there's just something about hearing Detroit live anyway.
Yeah. But for me, like, I like the studio version of Detroit just as much, whereas Parasite, I prefer the live version to Hotter Than Hell every single time. You know what I mean?
I love the live version too, but still. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no big deal. I'll live.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, brother.
That's all right. Well, how about Making Love versus Black Diamond? Man, that's a tough one too.
Yeah, I'll go Making Love. I love that song.
I do too.
I always go for Black Diamond.
Hmm.
Especially the live version, you know, with the extended drum thing at the end, you know, and, you know, the whole drum riser going up and everything, the fireworks and explosions.
It is pretty much one of the most perfect Kiss songs. But at the same time, man, lately I've been digging on Making Love even more than usual. Just, I don't know why, I've been kind of in a rock and roll over mode. And dude, that solo, Ace's solo has got to be one of his best ones ever put down, you know? It's smoking. So I'm going to go Making Love. I'm going to go Making Love today. And I know that we picked Black Diamond on a Sweet 16 before as one of the best Kiss songs ever, but still. These things are subject to flux, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a constant.
Yep. All right, well, here's another one. The Battle of the SH Songs. I'm talking Shout It Out Loud versus She.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of Shout It Out Loud. This is where you go, yeah?
Yeah?
I go with She.
So do I agree. So do I. That's a unanimous one. That doesn't happen that often. I mean, Shout It Out Loud's a good song, but, you know, it's just one of those
rock and
ones.
Roll all night.
Yeah.
She still kicked ass live, you know, the way you look at it. So,
well, so does Shout It Out Loud, but between the two, right. I go with She.
You got listening to She live compared to the studio version.
True.
Yeah. You
know, that's so true. Ass. All right, well, how about Got to Choose versus Calling Dr. Love? What you thinking?
I like Dr. Love because it's more of a heavier thumping song, but I got to go. Got to Choose fucking really sounded awesome live.
I'm going to go with... Jody, what are you going with?
Hey, no collaborating.
I got to choose.
And see, I wouldn't have gone with that, so that's why I was asking. Go ahead. That's next.
Well, I've always loved Got to Choose. I don't know. I like Calling Dr. Love, but I always tend to lean
on that
Paul
record.
Stanley.
Gene's voice became that was when he was extra demon.
True.
You know.
And, you know, Gene versus Paul, I almost always will go with a Paul song. That's just the way I am.
True.
Here's two great Paul songs for you, though. How about 100,000 Years versus I Want You? I want.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer for me, 100,000 Years.
Yeah? Drum solo and all.
Yeah.
What about you, D-Rock?
I'm going against Joe on that one. I've gone with I Want You.
Well, that's a tough one, but I think I would probably want to hear 100,000 Years because, for me, the end of a Live 2 version of I Want You, I'm just tired of it. It's too long. It's too drawn out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't need all that.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
I mean, I'm not considering all that. I'm just considering the song, you know, in general.
Yeah, but that's part of it on this version.
It's a live version, yeah.
Yeah, I know that, but that's not what
I'm just saying. That was the factor for me because I love both of those songs a lot, and I could kind of do without the drum solo in the Alive version of 100,000 Years, but
yeah.
I do like when Paul comes back and starts doing his, you know, hype speech
along with Peter. Yeah,
that's pretty rad. But anyhow, how about Deuce? This is a battle of two really strong contenders for the best song to start a Kiss concert with, in my opinion. But we got Deuce and I Stole Your Love.
Damn.
That's super
hard. I'm a huge I Stole Your Love fan, so that's my vote. I agree. Yep.
Yep. But at the same time, man, the fucking Deuce on Alive.
Deuce is awesome.
You can't really beat it. But it lost. All right, so we're advancing to round two. We're talking Watching You versus Let Me Go Rock and Roll.
Oh. I'm going with Let Me Go Rock and Roll.
Yeah? What are you thinking about, D-Rock?
I agree with Joe.
Sweet.
With Let Me Go Rock and Roll?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So if I can hear the disappointment.
That's a tough one, though, because, you know, Let Me Go Rock and Roll on Alive really is one of the best things. But so is Watching You. So, I mean, it's kind of like choosing which child your favorite. It's hard to do. Okay, so.
Yeah, do you want Nathan or Natalie? You
know? Right. All right, well, how about Detroit Rock City versus Making Love?
I go with Making Love.
As do I.
I hate to put the Detroit down, but I agree.
There you go. All right, well, how about She versus Got to Choose?
For me, that's easy. It's got to be She.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Ah, another unanimous.
Well.
Now you're all hip to it. You're on me. I say that a lot.
Jody's happy now because that's two that we agreed on.
Yep.
All right. Well, how about 100,000 Years versus I Stole Your Love? Oof. Yeah.
I got so mad when I think of the things you said. That's my song. I Stole Your Love.
Yeah, I would go with that too. D-Rock, you would as well, or would you go 100,000?
Yeah, man.
I mean, that powerful. Live version, just, yeah, powerful as hell. Powerful. Even when you just hear it, I always picture him coming down on the lifts, you know what I mean? And Paul doing that, like, backwards sidestep thing that, as soon as he comes down. That's just so cool.
I used to have a, I had a really good copy of a bootleg when they played here in Atlanta for the reunion tour.
Yeah.
And Paul says something like, right before they play that song, he goes, "This is where we push the pedal to the floor."
Hell yeah.
And then he starts the song, and I was like, man, that made it even more badass.
Hell yeah. I know we've probably talked about it a lot, but man, when they opened with I Stole Your Love on the Hot in the Shade, did it blow your mind or what? Because I know it did me. I was like, holy, you're just in a million years. Wouldn't expect
totally
that one again.
For me.
It was awesome,
yeah,
man.
I remember
just wigging out.
Detroit or
Deuce. Yeah, because back then you didn't know what the set list was really going to be. And, you know, there was no internet. So it's not like the shows that happened before yours you got to see, really, you know?
Right.
So it's like you go in not knowing what to expect, and then there they dropped, you know, I Stole Your Love was the first song. It was amazing.
Even like Hit Parader or Circus Magazine didn't tell you the set list.
Now, once in a while, you could get one of those touring, like, I can remember, maybe it was more around the time of the reunion when they had that, like, magazine for the tour, and they did kind of have a set list, but not before that can I remember one, you know?
Talking about Hit Parade, not to break the 16 bracket and go back to the movie, but did you notice at the beginning of the movie that Eddie was reading a Hit Parade magazine?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, you had a Cream in another scene, too.
Yeah, and there, and you know, when I put the DVD in tonight, the seat, you know how they'll have like a menu seat. Yeah,
the
screen,
car,
you know?
With the Kiss bumper sticker.
Kiss bumper sticker, yeah. Right. Hell yeah.
I figured you saw that too.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Pretty cool, man. And a couple of bands on the car I didn't recognize the name of. There was like a, I can't remember what it was now. But so we're down to the final four. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's get it.
Y'all ready for this?
That's the DJ coming out of you right there.
Yeah. All right, well, how about Let Me Go Rock and Roll versus Making Love?
Ew.
Damn. Both have, like, pretty much stellar Ace Frehley lead guitar.
I'd have to go with Let Me Go.
I gotta go with Making Love. Jody, what you got?
Oh, man, you're gonna make me choose, huh?
Yeah, you got to choose, but oh, bum.
You got to choose. Got.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, I think I'm gonna go with Let Me Go Rock and Roll because there's more bang for the buck. It's a longer song.
All right, that's fair.
That's a fair reason.
Sure.
It's like 5-6 minutes on the live. It's pretty killer. That whole breakdown with the bass. Ding, 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 ding. I love that.
Yeah, Gene's whole pelvic thrust.
Wonder what, you remember how like in the 70s videos, Gene would do that crouching thing and jump way high in the air and then land and do it again?
Yeah, they call it like the frog jump or something like that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he tried that these days?
Yeah,
I don't think he'd get back up
on the hip.
His pants, but he wouldn't be able to get up out of that crouch position.
He'd be stuck there.
He'd go in here. Oh, my back!
His hips.
Yeah, broke a hip.
You guys ready for this one?
Yep.
We got She versus I Stole Your Love.
No, damn. You did this on purpose.
Yeah. I'm gonna go I Stole Your Love.
Yeah, I go with I Stole Your Love.
Me too.
I love that version of She because it has that riff, you know, like the whatever they call it. It's at the end of Let Me Know on the first record. Right. You know what I'm talking about. And that fucking rules. But I Stole Your Love, it's just, there's just something about it, you know. I just picture that scene off of Phantom every time I hear it.
Well, especially hearing it live, you know.
Yeah, it smokes. So that brings us down to the final two, fellas. We got Let Me Go Rock and Roll.
Always in the final two.
Yeah, and I Stole Your Love.
And I'm going with I Stole Your Love.
Me too.
Mm. Ah!
All right, I Stole Your Love, the best from both the lives.
Wow, man, that's surprising.
But think about it. When you think about Alive 1 and 2, that's one of the ones that comes to my mind right away. I Stole Your Love. It's killer.
Definitely. That one and She and Black Diamond are like my top three that I think about, you know, between the fucking live albums.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you have it, folks. It ended up being I Stole Your Love. So put that on and think about the scene from Phantom when they're coming down on the risers. Paul gets his little sidestep going. It's pretty badass. I always loved how Ace jumps up right before, you know, it's like da-da-da-da-da-da. He does that jump forward.
Really, yeah, that's true.
It's really cool.
So let us know what you think of our Sweet 16. Did we nail it or did we screw it all up? PodcastRockCity1@gmail.com. You can email us about anything. You know, if you got a good story.
Podcast Rock City.
I do want to mention that tonight I saw a guy make a comment about the fact that he met Tommy Thayer on a meet and greet.
Yeah.
And he said, now we got to take this with, you know, whether an, I don't know the guy, but he seemed sincere. Okay. He said that when he met Tommy in the meet and greet, took him aside and said, "What are you wearing on the cruise?" And Tommy, he says, Tommy said, "I'm wearing the lightning bolt outfit."
Nice.
Nice.
That'll be pretty interesting.
So, we'll have to wait and see. You know, it was a long discussion that I was reading, and basically they were saying, you know, we're going to get the version of Creatures of the Night is going to be the one with Ace.
Yeah.
You know, right. In the band. So, that'll be the outfits probably that they wear.
Yeah.
Cool.
Although I love Gene's boots, you know, when Vinny was in the band. Yeah. All those spikes all over him. I thought that was really awesome.
Like the horny toad looking things.
Horny toad. It's so true. Okay, so you guys, what do you think? You think that's good enough?
Sure is.
A lot of fun. Thank you guys for listening tonight. Jody, do you have anything to add?
I actually have one thing to add besides my norm. I just want to send a special shout out to our boy Matt Porter, dude. His coverage of the expo was unbelievably awesome. And three plus hours, very exciting, a great listen. And I'm a huge fan of the Kiss Room, as everybody knows. But this was probably my favorite episode he's done. And if you haven't heard it, you got to go check it out. Go to thekissroom.com or just type up the Kiss Room, Google it. He's on Podomatic. He's everywhere. Just like, you know, Google him and check that show out. It's really cool. So thank you so much, Matt. I really did appreciate it, bro.
Awesome. D-Rock.
I just want to thank everybody for listening. I appreciate, you know, the letters that we get and everything and the comments we get too. So just keep listening.
Absolutely. If you guys don't know, I was on the Kiss Room this past weekend or this past Friday where I talked about what's going on with us in KGFrocks.com. Coming up during the Kiss Cruise. If you want on any of that information, go listen to the new Kiss Room. It's on iTunes, just like Jody said. Don't forget to listen to the show, Podcast Rock City Live, this Wednesday on KGFRocks.com at 8:30 to 10. Jody and I do Kiss Talk and Kiss Tunes. That's my slogan now.
I like it.
Kiss Talk and Kiss Tunes. And I guess the only other thing I have to add is, and I want to make sure that I do this, is this show comes out on the 17th, and it would have been my mom's 70th birthday, and I miss my mom, and I hope she's up there listening to me right now, and I want to tell her that I love her. And, yeah, you know what I mean. Anyway, so we love Kiss Podcasts. We love all kinds of podcasts, and you are going to hear all the commercials for the podcasts that we love after the show in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh,
oh, come on.
respectful.
So imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History, Science, Theory. We bust balls because we care.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast. The KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the KISS Room, brings you KISS talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great KISS fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to PodKISS.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to PodKISS.
The PodKISS, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation
behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine. I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.